Everyone, and welcome to Hey Jorge, where we have created a space to start and facilitate conversations with underrepresented intersectional voices. I'm Jorge Olivares, and you know, I thought I was a Christian kid, and it turns out, even though I technically am, as somebody who's Catholic and somebody who still tries to explore his placement in the Catholic Church, but I feel like my next two guests were probably more Christian kids than I were. And I'll leave them each to discuss what that is. But you can hear a lot of their stories in their podcast, which is called, aptly, We Were Christian Kids. It's hosted by Justin Randall and Calvin Arcinia, who is a musician. Justin is a comedian. And in the course of these episodes, which there have been, I believe, a few dozen so far, and it launched late last year, there's been conversations about their own journeys, conversations with other folks who identify with the Christian faith, either now or at least did in their life before. And so I'm curious to hear from them as to, one, the motivation to start this podcast, two, how they found each other, and three, how to find others who would find the messaging of this podcast. Because I think a lot of us out there, especially of a queer persuasion, are still trying to get a grasp as to what faith has done for us and how it either helped or hindered our own respective journeys. So excited to welcome Calvin and Justin to talk about We Were Christian Kids. Thank you all so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So I do like to kind of bring up and kind of paint the picture for the listeners, since I always say, full disclosure, these conversations are happening via Zoom. But I love that both of your backgrounds have pride flags that each of you have it kind of right near you. So Calvin has it towards the back where his instruments are, since I did mention he is a musician. And Justin has it off to the side where most of his recording equipment is. So I want to start off first with Justin, about kind of your decision to have the pride flag near you, either when you're recording or just in general.
Yeah, this pride flag in particular actually is from the very first pride parade that I ever attended, and I marched in it, and it was probably 5 or 6 years ago at the New York City Pride Parade. And I was waving it the whole time, and it was like such a mystical experience because I had recently come out of the closet, and to have all of these people like shouting love and affirmation at me for like a number of hours was kind of life-changing actually. So I have kept onto it all these years, and I hang it up, and it I guess I didn't even really realize that it probably appears in every Zoom call I do, but I'm glad that it does.
I will say, to kind of go to your point about marching in pride and what it does to your spirit. So I've been blessed to march in New York City Pride, which by all accounts is probably the largest you could imagine in the States. But also in my hometown Pride, in my hometown is like 25,000 people, and the parade lasted all of a half hour. but they were similar in that there's such a special feeling that you get when you have other people cheer you on for just living your truth. Because I know that a lot of us have had these internal dialogues within us of like, are we right in the world? Are we not right in the world? Are people gonna love us? Like, there's always been, I don't wanna say always, because I guess this is all dependent on who we are, but there's usually a quest for validation and that we belong. Marching in pride kind of helps with that. But I do want to ask Calvin about the origin stories of the rainbow flag that is currently in your background.
Well, that one's from Michaels. But, you know, and I think I got it last year or 2 years ago, and I was, you know, buying something crafty for some, you know, reason, and I saw that they had a pride, like, kiosk or like a, you know, like a section in the Michaels, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna buy one of everything because I want this to stay here and I want this to keep being here. And so because you know, obviously we have to boycott Hobby Lobby, so I was like, it's like, good on you Michaels, you better support Pride, and I bought one of everything. I got earrings, got like, you know, tote bag, like, yeah.
Michaels is kind of where it's at. I do feel a very spiritual connection to Michaels. I do want to ask for those of our listeners who have not had a chance to either listen to the podcast or follow each of your individual work, how does Justin and Calvin as a team develop? Where did the friendship start and where did the connection start?
Justin, you go.
Oh, sure. Okay. We've known each other for like 13 years now. So we became best friends back in high school when we were like 16 or 17. And I was actually thinking before we got on to talk that our friendship really started around spirituality. Like, it's the basis of our friendship for many years was our faith. And often when we hung out, we were doing faith-based things. We were praying together. We were doing worship nights together. We were leading Bible study together. And that is our origin story. And then we kind of like just grew together over the years and ended up where we are now. And it was looking back on those beginning times that really made us think, oh, we should talk more about this because that's kind of interesting. You know,
mm-hmm. and because we had like so much of those experiences do shape who we are today, and I felt like we were often coming to those conversations when we were just speaking in private, and then, you know, kind of just like logically, and especially in the midst of a pandemic, like I was just like, you know, we're kind of unweaving a lot of trauma right now, just as a society and as a planet, and we're forced to deal with ourselves, and we're forced to take a look in the mirror, and off the top of my head, I could think of, you know, several people who have had similar experiences of leaving the church or feeling like their sexuality means that they can't have a spirituality, and I wanted to participate in seeing a change either in at whatever degree or whatever scale is possible, but to have like deep conversations about A, religious trauma, B, about just like you know, the study of apologetics and like logic and spirituality and all those things, and being able to talk about like dicks and ass in the same conversation, and that both of those things are holy things, that we get to embody our bodies as holy people, like regardless of what so much of the church has said that we are, and so those are the kinds of the things that I was like, you know, I bet there are dozens, hundreds, thousands of other people in America today that have had these experiences, and they can't talk to anybody about them. They can't talk to their family about them, and their friends probably didn't have those same things happening to them. So I, you know, just wanted to provide a space.
There's something so interesting about kind of what we allow ourselves to reveal to those close to us, right? And I am thinking, again, mine was particularly in a Catholic parish. I was a part of a Catholic youth group at my local parish. And I was fine talking about all the spiritual things, right? Like the things that you do in the course of, as you mentioned, the Bible studying, the just kind of reflections on what we heard at Mass that previous weekend. But I never felt comfortable talking about my sexuality, even though it made more sense to me than my association with faith. But because we had that like the easy ground for us to be able to jump off of and have all these conversations of, like, everybody had this whole spiritual thing that we had in common. Sexuality, maybe not so much. So at what point did you each come out to each other and transition from having the spiritual conversation? And I don't even want to say the sexual conversation, because then that denotes a particular thing. The conversation about identity and how that was being shaped through the course of your adolescence.
Calvin, you want to take that one?
Sure. So while, like, we both, in retrospect, have realized and learned later that we were both homosexuals, and in the way that we grew up, in the time that we grew up, in the churches that we were part of, that wasn't something that we were able to accept in ourselves or to live out in a way that would be seen as holy or righteous or even acceptable socially. So there was a lot of baggage and trauma around identity and sexuality, and so. And in the church, you talk about things as though they've already been eradicated or as though they've already been fixed, as though you are already right. So it's like, I struggle with homosexual desires rather than I think I might be gay. It's like, there is this thing and it's a part of me that's evil. And so I came to Justin with that statement when I was maybe 18, 17, 18.
Mm-hmm. And, with the statement that you felt you were struggling with a particular aspect. Okay.
Yes, I was struggling with homosexual thoughts or something very clinical like this, and then a few years passed. I found myself as a missionary to Edinburgh, Scotland, and I get a Facebook ding or something, and Justin is coming out to me. Now, mind you, I had no idea, because in college he had a girlfriend, and so I was just like, you know, my straight friend Justin, and like has to deal with me bitching about, you know, wanting dicks all the time, and then he's coming out to me, and I'm just like, wait, hold on, like,
you want dicks too, Justin?
Yeah. Bad, very badly.
And but I was in a position where I was like financially being provided for by people who believed, or like, you know, like I was contractually obligated to only be promoting and like wanting and wishing things that were like morally acceptable by the church that sent me there. And so like Justin's always been my best friend, and it broke my heart to be like, I wish you wouldn't do that. Like, I wish you wouldn't be gay or like accept that about yourself, or and that's where I was. And you know, since then I've apologized profusely, and again I'm so sorry, but it was like I was in this like utter dissonance at that time in myself. And then in the course of that same time as a missionary, I decided that I wasn't going to live. I mean, and it was probably because of you, Justin, like I was inspired and felt like I could be proactive in this way, where I had been living in this fear of judgment and this fear of this things, like, you know, perpetual anxiety of like, if anybody finds out, or if I ever act on this, or if my eyes linger too long, then I'm just going to burst into flames. And I just said, Jesus, like, I don't think you hate me. I think God is love. I don't think you hate me. And I don't think you want me to hate me. And so I'm going to stop hating me and we'll just see what happens. And I guess I'm still kind of on that journey, you know? But then I moved back, and then we've connected, you know, over the years and stayed in touch and really reconciled that those experiences were very traumatic for both of us, and that we have way more like, and then the conversations began to bloom outside of just spirituality, but it was like, what does existence mean? Like, and who are we as individuals? And like, and yes, there is this like ethereal, like a theory of eternity, but what does now look like? And what does now feel like? And that's kind of, I guess, how we got from there to here.
I love, obviously, about the living in the now. How do we get to the now? But before getting to the now was the then, right? Yeah. And I love that you expressed from your perspective what the then looked like, because of your own innate struggles. Justin, were you, like, when Calvin came out to you a few years before you eventually came out to him, were you also dealing with these internal struggles, or were you just kind of like, life is going to take me wherever it's going to take me, and I'll figure out whatever the fuck I need to figure out when it needs to happen?
I was definitely dealing with internal struggles. And that was what I was going to say, actually. Like, the flip side of it is that I wasn't able to meet Calvin where he was at those many years before, when he told me he was struggling with homosexuality. So both of us, sort of when we were doing our thing, weren't able to meet each other, just because that's not where we were personally. I remember when I got that text from Calvin, I was sitting on a couch with my girlfriend in college, like my long-term girlfriend. So to me at that time, it was like, this is not an option. I was pretty much in denial, I would say, but still experiencing, you know, the experience of being gay, but just being in denial about it. So I was also at a place in my faith where I wasn't like, really buying into repentance and sin and that kind of thing. So the verbiage struggling with my homosexuality wasn't resonating either, because I was like, I don't need to struggle. I'm not, there's no sin. It was kind of wrapped up in other types of shame. So yeah, it was hard and it was confusing, I would say. And it was sad to not be able to meet my best friend where he was, but the way that my life was at that point made it feel like there wasn't an option to do it. And it wasn't until I moved to New York, like a few years later, that I felt the freedom to be like, okay, now I can breathe. Maybe now I can explore who I am. I can try being with guys. And that's sort of where my coming out process started. So
I'm curious, because in the aftermath of one's coming out, the openness in which we talk about our sexuality is very much our own decision, right? If we want to tell this particular person, we'll tell this particular person. If not, we'll move on with our lives and find the people that we actually do want to share with. But then there's something that's added to that when you feel like you're ready to share it with the world in the form of a podcast, in the form of the conversations that you're having with this podcast. So at what point did you all realize, like, oh, okay, cool. What we're talking about amongst each other and amongst ourselves is probably going to be beneficial for a much larger audience?
We never realized that.
It's like, even now, and that's part of the joy sometimes of doing a podcast is, people are listening in, but it really is just a conversation between friends about, like, what the fuck are we doing in our lives, and how can we best make sure that we're staying on track for what works for us?
Yeah.
I think a big part of it was that we were talking about repeatedly how we weren't hearing many people in the gay community talking about spirituality. Like, that might just be our experience, but like, we weren't bumping up against that discussion very much in gay culture. And we were like, but this is a part of our lives, so it's got to be a part of other people's lives. Let's try starting the conversation about that. And I think that was one of our biggest like motivators for starting the podcast, was just bringing that conversation to like the gay experience, or the queer experience, I should say. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say, Calvin? That was sort of like
the final, the primary role. And also just like, because we've also had a couple straight people as well, like people who identify straight. And so it's also to just say, like, this is our platform and we could invite you into it, right? Rather than we living in a straight world. It's like, no, this is our realm, and we talk about these things and in the same breath, in the same conversations, talk about these things. And that doesn't make us dirty or unclean or anything like that. It's like we get to embody both of these spaces in our body right now. We don't have to go through any rituals to become whatever, to get your mind right, to get your heart right. Like, we're always right. We're always all right. Not correct, but like, we're good. Mm-hmm. As we are.
I'm wondering if there's something that either of you have explicitly or maybe implicitly told each other that you definitely don't want to talk about in the podcast, that would surface some trauma that you have yet to fully address in your lives. Or do you feel like at this point, because of the self-acceptance that you have with regards to both identities, that you're kind of like, fuck it. If we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it, because it really would be beneficial to others.
We're kind of like, fuck it, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Because there's just so much worth, like, how do I say this? I believe that vulnerability and authenticity and honesty is the most effective way to build bridges of empathy. And I know that sounds whatever, but like, it's through storytelling, with me through song, and with Justin through comedy and theater and acting, and you know, our obsession with Netflix and our obsession with these series that we were talking about before we started today. It's like, it's storytelling. And in church and church experiences, when there's like testimony time, when people are talking about their struggles, when people are sharing things that they don't normally bring up in casual conversation, that is when I've experienced, and when you've probably experienced, the spirit falling the heaviest or the most impactfully. And I think that those experiences are not necessarily only due to the to spirit necessarily, but it is to our spirits unleashing ourselves and being vulnerable with one another. And there is this alchemical thing that just happens when we actually share of ourselves. And in like friendships and things like that, they always go deeper faster when we are able to step forward and say, this is my experience. And so, you know, do I want my mom or all of my fans or my nephews to listen to any of the things that I'm saying on the podcast? Fuck no. But at the same time, I just feel like, how can you learn from my mistakes if I don't share them? How can you learn the things that I have learned in my lifetime and glean something beneficial for yourself if I'm withholding all of that information from you? So I'd rather be an open book to say, listen, this was never glamorous, and like, and this was never like, and I also did le like have legitimate experiences with what I believed to be God at the time. Like, I have both of those things in me. And so what I hope it does is for people who are still active in the church and people who are living in a straight situation, like that they can see somebody who is queer in their life and understand that they are full embodied humans that have a spiritual appetite and, you know, intelligence and questions and to ask those people questions and to listen to their answers. And that is kind of, you know, what I'm hoping to, that comes about from this podcast.
I want to ask, well, I'm going to ask both of you, but I'm going to start off with Justin. And I will say that we are recording this conversation the weekend of Easter, which, if you are of the Christian tradition, is a significant part of the year. But that being said, based off of your association with Christianity today, does that matter? Like, do you care about these events? Where is your placement in all of this?
I don't, I gotta say. I have been giving it thought, actually, knowing that Easter is coming up. And I really just feel like where I'm at now spiritually is that I have kind of taken it away from Christianity into a more like universal view of God. And so a lot of the, you know, meaning and symbolism around like Christian traditions has fallen away for me personally. But I do have people in my life that I care about very deeply that have a very open and accepting version of Christianity. And I know that it's meaningful to them. And so there is a part of me that still wants to kind of like honor it in a way, because I know that I. Let me try to phrase this. I know that there is a way to be Christian and to honor these holidays that is inclusive and open and loving and accepting, even if that wasn't quite the version that I grew up with. So I'm kind of trying to stay somewhere in the middle, but I personally don't feel a big emotional attachment to it. So.
And Calvin?
I really like to celebrate Passover at this time of year, and I know that that's super weird, but it's just I grew up around Messianic Christians who were kind of like, sorry, Messianic Jews that celebrated all of the Jewish holidays, and like, so if we're gonna like, because I really try to detach anything Western from Jesus if I can. And so he celebrated Passover, so I want to do what he did if I'm going to celebrate anything, right? So but I really I don't like Christmas that much besides the music, and I don't really do anything on Easter.
I should note again, the podcast itself is called We Were Christian Kids, with the emphasis on were. But would you say that those kids, especially the kids that are on the cover art for the podcast, like those Christian kids are still within you, right? Whether or not you even use the word Christian to describe them today.
Like there is a cultural Christianity that we're speaking about rather than the act or the religion. It's the Christian culture that we grew up in, and that's, I think, what we're more addressing than even the religion. It's like, what was that like for us, and growing up in the Bible Belt, it's in particular, and who were those people, and who have they become?
Yeah, and Calvin touched on it earlier, but I think we both believe that we had experiences with a real greater being or God in our youth. And if you strip away everything else that was sort of hurting us at the time, those experiences still ring true. And I think the kids that experienced that are, at least for me, that's still within me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as a super Christian kid myself, I highly recommend everybody get a chance to listen to the podcast, which you can listen wherever you stream podcasts. Again, it's called We Were Christian Kids with Justin and Calvin. Several episodes are out now. I highly recommend the Missionaries one, because you'll know why when you listen to it. But thank you both for joining me, for having this conversation, and yeah, like allowing this space to exist, because as I mentioned, there's a personal stake for me, and I think a lot of people will feel that too.
Yeah, thanks for having us so much.
Yes, this was great. Thanks.